cliffcentral.com.
Hey, Django.
Hello.
How are you?
Are you fine?
Yes, because I'm going to the Sexpo thing next week.
Well, it's a bit too early to let everybody know that we're going to the Sexpo next week.
But you just repeated it, like, with detail.
Yeah, like, next week, at exactly this time, we will be broadcasting live from the Sexpo, myself and
you
KF.
You already know.
You know, No Borders has taken us to places that even we didn't think that we were going to go. You never know, next time we might be broadcasting from Paris, France.
From the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
First Cliff Central broadcast from the
Eiffel
Tower.
Still with naked women. So, yeah. Hate your life. Love mine.
Yo, it's No Borders on cliffcentral.com every Friday, usual. 1 to 2 p.m. Yeah, yo, what do you call it? I always forget. Your lunch.
Now when I have to say, your weekly lunchtime fix.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, we can work with that.
Yeah, we can work with that. Yeah, yeah. And we'll change it. We'll switch it up for
as is when we want to. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Especially for the Sexpo, we're gonna reiterate.
It's gonna be something crazy. Yeah, and we'll probably get some of the, like, you know. Not the porn stars, but yes, the porn stars. Yeah, to get on.
I've never actually been. I don't even know what it's about. Like, it's
about sex.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. It's an expo for sex.
But so they have, like, a lot of pornography and stuff.
Yeah, they have everything out there, man. I mean, like,
and then toys and everything.
You get toys, you get the works. So it's actually a vast array of everything to do with the adult industry.
Wait. What's her name was there last time? It was Ice. Ice T, and what's his wifey's name?
The one Coco. With the jaws. Yeah, Coco, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, wait, yeah, I mean.
Jenna Jameson's been, anyone know Jenna Jameson in the building? Anyone know? Okay, Jenna Jameson's out there. She's like number one porn star of the world for all time.
Okay, yeah, well, I wouldn't know.
I have some of her clips here. I could go into a couple now.
Should we play some?
Only next week when we're at the Sexpo, so yeah.
Okay, so those of you who are tuning in, no, logging in, because we made up our own thing, because we're online radio, so it's not tuning in.
Yeah, you gotta log
those
in.
Of you who are logging in for the first time, No Borders is your Pan-African show that's trying to promote dialogue across, you know, multiple African nations. Like, we don't talk to each other, so we want to start talking to each other. Yeah. We have a brother in the building.
Yeah.
His name is Jonathan Robinson, and he's promoting this very same dialogue, but with coffee. Like, when I got the bag with a whole lot of coffee from Reno, I was like, wait, hold up. This dude actually brings coffee from Kenya. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you.
Because I was afraid of saying the wrong name, the wrong countries.
No, you started with Uganda earlier, so
yeah.
We need to get that straight.
Okay, so it's not Uganda. Okay, so Jonathan, tell us about Bean There. And that's Bean There is B-E-A-N, as in coffee beans. And then there, so it's like the pun. Okay, I'm sure you guys get it.
Yeah, so just to correct the Ugandan part, we've got we may have coffee from Uganda at some point, but at the moment
it's popular with KF.
I like Uganda. I got memories from
you. Developed a market for it already, so we may need to bring it in.
There we go.
But at the moment, we've got coffee from Ethiopia, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, and the DRC.
Wow. Okay, but what brought about the whole concept? Like, it's something very rare. Like, okay, so first of all, what's the coffee culture in South Africa?
Yeah, so
before
I suppose,
we even get into what brought it about, concept, yeah.
I guess the coffee culture has grown so much in the last few years. I mean, we've been around now for 12 years, and it's hard to believe that the change and the development. I mean, you're seeing, you know, just like craft breweries, you're seeing little micro, you know, coffee roasters popping up all over. And so, yeah, we're seeing, 10 years ago, if someone poured a little heart into your cappuccino, you would jump, you know, grab your phone and grab your girlfriend and, you know, want to point it out. Now that's sort of standard practice, you know, and you're seeing, I mean, some of our baristas have been there, can pour the most amazing swans and elephants and, you know, all sorts of things. So certainly the culture's grown hugely, and I think we're seeing more and more that South Africans are not prepared to accept a poor quality coffee, so they're sending stuff back. You know, they get to the end of the meal, they want a good coffee. Mm-hmm. There's some real growth in the market and real change, which has been, you know, been great.
And then directly from there, so then what? Because obviously, it's one thing to make really good coffee.
Yeah.
Right? It's another thing to start importing coffee from multiple countries. And,
yeah.
And then coming up with the whole concept of being there. I love it. Like, the name, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, from a concept point of view, I suppose I came up with it, 15 years ago. I was traveling. I was in the IT industry, working for Didata and IBM. Took a year off when there was a share market crash.
Okay.
Traveled through the US and Canada. Did a 27,000 kilometer road trip with my wife.
Wow.
And during that time, I met a guy in Canada in Vancouver.
White privilege.
Yeah, it is white privilege. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
This could go a whole different direction.
You see how relaxed he was. Like,
there was a crash in the market. You know what I'm saying? We just went traveling.
A year off.
27,000 kilometers, you know, across the US. I'm like,
what were you doing? I was in jail.
I'm looking at him like, okay.
I was also really? in a white Honda Ballard.
Which doesn't change anything, Jonathan. All right? You still got across. You got so out.
Yeah. White privilege in a white Honda Ballard traveling through the US. There we go.
Wow.
And so I met a guy in Canada who had this amazing business in direct fair trade coffee. I loved the fact that you could have a business in something you loved, and I was always mad about
coffee. Okay, what's direct fair trade coffee?
So, direct fair trade is basically saying that for far too long, the producers of coffee, who are primarily in the third world, have been exploited. So,
okay. Which is true.
Big corporations, you know, come in and they take amazing quality coffee and they don't pay a fair price for it. And so fair trade is really saying, how do we make sure that the producers of amazing coffee get a fair price? The model that we've adopted is taking fair trade a step further, which is saying it's not just good enough to buy fair trade coffee, but I actually want a relationship with the producer.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
So every year I travel to all the countries that we buy from and sit down with the producers, really to make sure that the money I'm paying is actually getting to them. So it's a bit of a double check. You know, I sit down with a small scale farm and say, you know, what did you get for the coffee? And we work out the numbers and make sure that that they're getting the most that they possibly can for an amazing product.
So that they can continue producing so you can keep selling. You know what's crazy, Kamu? Yeah. Like, we're out here thinking about, you know, what's the next big thing? What am I going to do? Let me open up this. Let me open up that. Let me, you know, build a flying car. Let me send someone to the moon.
Yeah.
When there's things as simple as coffee.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like coffee. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and biggest, probably after water must be the largest consumed beverage in the world. You know, many have said it's one of the largest traded commodities in the world. I think one of the things that is most I mention a lot is that the rest of the world has Africa to thank for the fact that they can wake up in the morning.
And have a ultimately, cup of coffee,
Ultimately, coffee is an African product.
Yeah. Wait, so
discovered in Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia. Where is coffee mainly produced?
Yeah, so at the moment, I mean, the biggest producer is Brazil. So I think that's why a lot of people sort of, you know, before they get to understand coffee, they think, oh, you know, Brazil, coffee came from Brazil. Okay. A lot of people actually think the coffee came from Italy. You know, in the beginning, people actually assumed that there was actually coffee grown in Italy, whereas Italy's just, you know, been a big roaster,
big
consumer, invented the espresso machines. Obviously, you know, they put cappuccinos on the map. But people wrongly assume that that's, you know, Brazil or Italy is where coffee originates, and yet Ethiopia, you know, on our own continent, birthplace of coffee and the finest coffee on the planet, hands down.
Wow! From an entrepreneurial perspective, starting up the business. Because we talk a lot about, you know, starting up businesses and, you know, having young people having, you know, just outside the box sort of thinking.
Yeah.
What was the process? If I was a multimillionaire or billionaire, I wouldn't have given you money to start being there.
No. And I didn't want to ask any of them either. Certainly not any of my multi-billionaire friends.
Oh, you have some?
No. Sadly not. They'd be poorer today if I'd taken money off them. So it was, I started at my garage. And initially I traveled to Ethiopia because I actually got a free ticket. SAA free ticket somewhere in Africa, and I looked at the map and there was not much science. I said, where's the furthest place I can go on this free ticket, as one always wants to get? How do we get the most out of our free product? Ethiopia, that looks like the furthest. So I packed my backpack, headed to Ethiopia, and landed up in the Sidamo area of Ethiopia with the most incredible coffee. And that was the first coffee brought in, and then started in the garage. Initially, I got someone to roast the coffee for me, so I didn't have the roasting part down yet. I had a few of my friends who were keen to be involved, but you know, you never want to lose your friends' money.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah.
So, you know, they were sort of keen. I was not keen. I said, let me rather lose strangers' money. So, I found a few eager investors who liked the idea of direct fair trade. You know, making an impact, doing something that's not just about the product.
Exactly.
But actually, about changing some of the lives of the producers. So got a couple of guys who are keen on coffee involved, and then started from there.
Very simple, straightforward story to me.
Money. That's all I'm thinking money. I'm thinking how I can get involved. I don't know.
I already figured that I'm out on this
one. I mean, it's a really out of the box. I mean, you would have never thought. I didn't even know that there was coffee from all these different countries. For example, Burundi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, Burundi is one of the countries, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Burundi's got some incredible coffee, and only in the last, you know, because of the civil war that they've experienced.
Yeah, I was thinking the civil unrest.
Yeah. I mean, they've had, it's been a while since Burundi coffee sort of got onto the map. I mean, Rwandan coffee is clearly on the map at the moment.
First of all, I didn't know any of these countries produce coffee. I know Rwanda because of Hotel Rwanda and Kagame and Hutus and Tutsis. Yeah. Burundi, I just think probably there's a war as well there.
I've got a bad joke for those areas. Do they produce gunpowder coffee? Is that what they call it? Or bullet? Is that bullet coffee?
You've probably heard of bulletproof coffee. That's making a big comeback.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's where they. I mean, it's not very good and not very good tasting. Apparently, it's good for you.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. It's some concoction of. Coconut oil and butter, and you put it in a blender, and it makes you live long. But I don't think if you had to drink that, you'd really want to live long.
Honestly, that doesn't sound.
But I mean, see, these are the conversations that we're trying to promote. I think we're very ignorant of what goes on in other African countries.
I mean, especially
we've had this discussion before. Southern Africans are known as, you know, the snobs of Africa.
Yeah.
So this is Africa, and then East and West is Africa. But we don't know. Like, I would have never thought that there's coffee in, especially Burundi. Rwanda, I still wouldn't have thought there's coffee, but... And these are the conversations that we try and promote on No Borders, you know, to find out what's going on in other countries. Like, what are they doing?
Opportunities that are available.
As well, the opportunities. And it's ridiculous because you thought of this, and I don't think, is there a similar concept anywhere else?
Well, I mean, there's definitely fair trade all over the world.
It's a big concept.
Direct fair trade is probably growing in terms of the for years coffee roasters just dealt with sort of brokers getting their green coffee. Mm-hmm. So they would just you'd call up a broker who had a relationship with the exporters in a country, and you'd never go yourself. Whereas we're certainly seeing a huge trend to roasters, even small scale roasters, deciding that they actually want to get to the source of their coffee. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we did when we started was to say that we wanted to do something other than the regular blended coffee. So all our coffee is what is called single origin. So we don't blend the coffees, and we don't blend them to do exactly what you've mentioned, which is to try and promote the countries on their own.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
So we wanted South Africans to fall in love with Ethiopian coffees and the floral notes in there, or the Tanzanians, which got amazing hazelnut characteristics. Mm-hmm. The Kenyan has got some great berry notes in that. Mm-hmm. And so as people start,
there's a whole lot of detail to coffee.
Yeah. It's like
wine. About hazelnuts and coffee. Yeah. I'm just here nodding my head, pretending like I know what he's talking about. It's like, you can't embarrass yourself on air. Like,
that's a lot of coffee.
Yeah, hazelnut.
Listen, it's harder to spot than you'd think. You know, we have we do cuppings at our coffee at our coffee roastery, which is basically like wine tasting for coffee. Mm-hmm. So you sniff the coffee, you then put hot water on, and you break the crust and evaluate the wet aromas, and you're trying to find
the coffee connoisseur,
the hazelnut and the florals and all of these sort of things in them. And then you slurp and spit and argue and, you know, try and find out what's unique in the different coffees. But it really is. I mean, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to take people on a bit of an adventure and do for coffee what's been done for wine. You know, walk into a restaurant and say, you know, give me a wine. you know?
Yeah, at least
you're going to say, you know, I'd like red or white.
But nowadays,
you're probably going to ask for a Shiraz or you're going to say, you know, I only drink Chardonnay.
Chardonnay is very popular with the black people now. It's because of reality TV.
And it's also the easiest to pronounce, too.
Yeah. Chardonnay is fine.
Chardonnay.
Because then they're like, oh, Cabernet Sauvignon. Oh, what?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon who?
Lost. We should never name anything or put anything on a menu that you can't pronounce.
Thank you very much.
I don't think those things get ordered ever. You know, I look down and the chicken has got some massive French name. I'm not ordering it.
And then they put the actual writing like at the bottom, like this is just chicken.
Chicken.
Don't worry.
It's just chicken. Yeah. And you know what's crazy is like have a French person come and say, hey, pronounce that chisanyama.
Oh wow! Like
why should I be able to pronounce what you're like?
Yeah, exactly.
What's it called? Filet mignon.
Filet mignon.
Filet minot.
Like, wow.
But I mean, that question was leading to the reception of the coffee within the industry here. Like, and we were speaking earlier off air, and I was asking, so are you more of a wholesaler or a retailer?
Yeah.
So let's get into that. And how has it been received? Like, I mean, do coffee shops, are they still being cheap about it?
Yeah.
And just going for your regular, I don't even know what brands they are like, but whatever, your regular coffee,
Great question. I think that what happened in the beginning is that we started. We've always been primarily in the wholesale space, mm-hmm. and in the beginning, we targeted primarily sort of luxury game lodges, boutique hotels, etc. People who, because our coffee's not cheap. When you pay fair trade prices and you're buying just the finest coffee on the planet, it should, you can't, and it really annoys me when someone will like our coffee and say, well, you know, but it's a bit expensive, you know. Mm. Well, how do you expect the farmers to be paid a fair price and you don't want to pay for the product?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you've got to, someone's, you know,
I want to roll it,
be consistent. So we started in the space of hospitality and particularly sort of the luxury game lodge market where they had a lot of international sort of guests who would understand
the more niche,
fair trade.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, organizations. One of our first customers was a company called And Beyond. They have a philosophy of, you know, care of the wildlife, care of land, care of people. And so when you put in, you know, coffee that has a, you know, direct fair trade and organic and
supporting the farmers,
etc., it resonated well, and so that is where we sort of got started. Everyone drinks coffee, fortunately. Yeah. So, you know, our market is then open to sort of corporates and, you know, restaurants and cafes and I suppose we're now some pick and pay, some spa, some Dis-Chem, so you can, you know, put it in with your Nurofen as well.
I think you need to, like, probably sponsor our show because people don't know about your coffee, Jonathan.
I swear to God.
I'm just saying, I have not seen it in Dis-Chem. I have not seen it in Pick and Pay.
I think I saw it in Pick and Pay yesterday when we were actually going through, because he's a massive, he's an avid coffee drinker. So we were going through all the different brands. I think we actually came across it.
It's the only brand, like, when I got, and very well packaged as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
then it's got the names of the countries on the actual package. Yeah. And I think that gives it a real different feel, like, okay, well, this is coffee,
authentic.
But it says Ethiopia. I'm like,
for far too long, you just saw Italian blend or Mocha Java. I mean, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even read that because it's the same thing everywhere. And like you said, a lot of people actually think coffee is more of an Italian thing because of cappuccino and espresso. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Camu?
Yeah.
So please talk to Jonathan about that other issue.
Which other issue?
The one of coffee, Africa, no borders. We can even start one that we blend all of the coffees.
You know, my biggest problem is that once we get you on board with us, we're never going to actually get to taste a cup of the coffee. Because these vultures outside are not going to give us a chance. Already they can't even give us enough water. Next thing, what are they going to do with the coffee?
We're out of the coffee.
No, look,
we'll call Jonathan ourselves. Aquavita, shout out to you.
We'll definitely have to get you to deliver to us personally.
Well, the nice thing and one of my sales spiels to corporate and to apply in this environment is that if you drink good coffee, you don't leave the office.
Yeah, true.
And so your productivity increases because you never want to go and get a
as
coffee.
As opposed to,
that's a very smart thing.
Yeah, that is.
Drinking coffee, I mean, you do like show after show, just, you know, day in, day out. You have to go home as long as you're consuming. That's a very smart pitch.
Yeah.
He's been doing this for a long time, 15 years. He did his homework.
27,000 kilometers later, and a flight to Ethiopia, and here he is. Jonathan's just managed to get his coffee in with us now. I think that'll be a great idea. It'll be awesome. Mom would love it.
I knew this is where we were going here. You know, get me on air and then let me commit to something.
Exactly.
Well, commit, Jonathan.
Back into the corner.
I think you should commit to supply us coffee?
Yes, no?
The Cliff Central. I keep forgetting this question that I wanted to ask. It wasn't to do with retail. It was to do with... I forgot.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to remember it.
I have to remember because it's a very pertinent question.
If you start forgetting
yes. Wait, hold up. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Health-wise. So, you know, like Coca-Cola, you know, the caffeine and so forth and so on. Yeah. With the restrictions, and how have you been able to maneuver that space? And what laws are in place in regards? Is coffee regulated?
Yeah.
Well, not is it healthy. I mean, anything taken to excess is not healthy. Yeah. But I'm saying, are there any regulations in regards to restrictions, coffee-wise, to the type of coffee that you're bringing in? The, what do we call it? The
beans or the actual beans?
No, the... What it is made of. There's a word for it.
Oh, the ingredients.
There's another thing.
There's not too much. Fortunately, there's no sort of
legal.
There's no import duties. It's coffee starts off its life as this green bean, and it becomes this roasted brown bean at double its size after you put it through the roasting process.
Yeah.
And so it's a really plain, simple, rock hard product with no real pests. And so it's pretty simple from that point of view, which is great. It means that when we do our food safety and organic audits and that sort of thing, there's not a lot of issues around, you know, pests and all that sort of stuff. So that's made it pretty easy. In terms of its health benefits, I mean, look at me. You know, picture of health.
I probably go to the gym 24/7.
There you go.
Unfortunately, only a face for radio. thank goodness it's not a TV show, otherwise you'd know that I'm maybe not telling the truth.
Like, yo, we ain't buying that coffee.
No, that's the face of that coffee.
What?
Is that what that coffee can do to you?
They don't put me on the packaging. So in terms of, you know, health benefits and, you know, people often talking about the caffeine side. I mean, you see so many, I obviously always steer towards the research that shows that coffee is amazing for you, that it prevents Alzheimer's, you know, keeps you alert, and, you know, there's a lot of reports and things out there around that.
You
know, people who drink coffee into their 80s will, you know, be more alert and alive and, you know, participative in life. People often ask about the caffeine side. You know, what's the caffeine content?
That's the word I was looking for.
Does it keep me awake? Okay. You know, all of these sort of things.
Yeah.
Very interesting fact around that is that high quality and really great quality coffee actually has less caffeine. So we only bring in 100% Arabica coffee, which is a varietal of coffee.
Yeah.
And coffee grown at high altitude, which is some of the best coffee in the world, seems to have less caffeine. I use my mother-in-law as the perfect test of caffeine content, because she gets heart palpitations. So if you want to send her into cardiac arrest, you just give her high caffeine content. Yeah. So that's our test, you know. If she starts, heart starts palpitating, then I know we've got high caffeine content.
I don't think he got that part.
He doesn't have a mother-in-law.
No, he doesn't. No, definitely not.
For me, it's still very sad. I think I need more coffee.
My mother-in-law definitely needs to go on that regime, that's for sure.
Well, you wouldn't mind a few heart palpitations.
A couple would work. Around this time would be perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Why around this time?
Well, look, my partner's pregnant now, so obviously, like, they all get involved. Yeah. So, like,
I think you need to name the child Kesiwe.
No, we can't.
Kesiwe Bean Piri.
I actually wanted to ask Jonathan, what is the income potential on this type of venture? Because, you know, my listeners love the information. Then they're like, what about the money?
Yeah.
We can make some money here with the coffee.
So I would say that you're involved in coffee for the love of coffee.
Okay, this is very honest.
This is what all white people say. This is nonsense. I'm not going to let you go on, Jonathan. This is bullshit.
I left the IT industry, the money was better in IT.
Then you go to Investec and it's like $454 million. Just like that. All of coffee
and it's
invoices.
Like, no, it's because I just love coffee. Yeah. Look,
I just love the smell of the coffee and the money together. It's just, you know, it's great.
I would say that, I think, like anything, if you do it well,
you will get your returns.
But I think if I look at the my career path down the in the IT space versus in the coffee space.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I think, you know, if the only consideration is money, then
definitely the IT space.
I probably wouldn't go down the coffee road.
No.
But I love what I do. You know, I get to work with amazing people. I get to travel
around the world, really.
Continent.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, I also sit back and look at some of the great stories. Like I've got an awesome relationship with a farmer in Kenya called Agnes. I met Agnes 2007, and when I sat down with her the first time, she was she had two kids, one in school, one not in school.
Okay.
My natural reaction, which is probably the same of most people, is, you know, how can I, you know, I connected well with her. Can I help and solve this problem at all?
Yeah.
You know? Sat back and looked at my model and said, you know, the secret to me operating and working with Agnes is not about the aid component. It's not about me saying, oh, Agnes, let me help you out.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually about saying, Agnes, you produce amazing coffee. I'm going to buy your coffee at a great price because
you deserve
it.
Let's help each other out,
And so we've been working with Agnes for the last, 10 years now. I was with her in February this year.
Yeah.
And I was chuffed to see the change. So the last 10 years, and it's not all us. It's mostly Agnes, to be honest. We've played a small part. But first meeting, sat with Agnes in her house, small hut in rural Kenya.
Yeah.
I sat with her this year in February, brick house, gutters, sat on her couch, sat with her iPhone.
Wow!
She scrolled through Facebook photos of some of the visits we've had together over the years.
Awesome.
And we watched some Batman reruns on her television.
Wow!
And then I watched her cow get artificially inseminated. And I thought,
okay,
how have we? Where have we come?
Yeah. from not just farming coffee to artificially inseminated cows.
Can I help you help me?
Well, it's all going to end up in artificial insemination. So
which you
know.
Can maybe sort out at Expo on next weekend.
Oh, we're going to sort that out.
Artificial insemination?
You best be sure we're going to sort the insemination part out next week. Next week's going to be
I know what you folks are going to pick up on.
Jonathan, where are the offices? How do people get a hold of being there? Social media, yada, yada.
Yeah. And so we operate down at 44 Stanley in Mill Park, and then we've got a roastery at Smith Street in Bramfontein, so just below Wits. And then we've got a roastery in Whale Street in Cape Town, so in center of Cape Town.
Can we actually visit one of your roasteries?
Yeah.
Yes.
And actually see the process, because I want to be one of those guys who, when I'm holding my cup of coffee, like, you guys really don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. This is terrible. Please take this back.
Take it away. This is a grade 7 bean. Rubbish.
Yeah, so that's and I suppose social media @beentherecoffee on Instagram, Twitter.
Okay, I think we're gonna go on there now and follow you immediately. Because it makes no sense for us not to follow you, especially since you're on the show.
He's committed to providing us with coffee.
Yes. And
we got him on air.
We'll send you our bank details as well. You can give us cash.
Brittany should have warned you.
And was it?
Yeah. Jonathan, Brittany should have warned you. You're going on a show with black people. Black people love free stuff.
Yep, we do.
And we will get you to give us free stuff on air when you can't say no. And it's Gareth Cliff, man. You got to, you know.
You got it wrong here. And it's not just black people who like free stuff. I like free stuff. Don't discriminate, yeah?
No, that's what we do on this show.
I thought I was going to get free stuff coming here.
That was a big,
well, you
big
did.
Mistake,
and I got a,
mate.
You got did. A you got a free bubble, little bubblehead,
bubble
yeah.
of Gareth Cliff.
Okay, here we go. So it's Bean Their Coffee, right?
Correct.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, awesome.
I'd like to say I run those social media accounts, but if it was up to me, there'd be no content.
Why would...
I only think of things after it's all happened. I'm too engaged in the moment, and then afterwards I think, I should have tweeted a photo.
Well, this is awesome.
So
absolutely,
I just call it living in the moment.
Yeah, which is actually what it is.
So
yeah, everyone's on their phones right now. I hate my phone.
Yeah,
why do you hate your phone? You're supposed to be doing the same thing, following.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow later. Like, I'm in the moment. I'm living in the moment.
You're only gonna follow if you get your free coffee.
Yeah. I already got free coffee.
Oh yeah, you're a hit.
Yeah, I'm
you're
good. Like, I'm good. Yeah. I need a coffee machine though.
No.
Can you do that too?
I think we're going to need to sort out some coffee. Yeah.
No, we're going to need a legal team to handle this because a lot of things are getting involved now. Yeah.
Although I don't know if this office can or this studio can handle any more energy. I think from imagine you two on being there, caffeine. Ooh.
Really? Did you hear Palisa juice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to actually Jesus, what we Palisa. Could do is we could have like 10 minutes on the show that are sponsored by Being There where we just absolutely lose it off the coffee. Okay. Yeah.
Coffee gives idea. You four
you won't be the first person to lose it. No.
Who gives a shit about Red Bull? Yeah. We've got coffee.
Really? Bitch. And you're going to say just like that?
Yes, I did. It's unscripted. We can say whatever we want.
And radio.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you very much. Anyway, it's No Borders, cliffcentral.com, your boy KF and Kamu.
Yep.
Thank you to Jonathan Robinson, CEO and founder of Being There.
Make sure you
follow
them.
You got the details at Being There on social media.
Yeah.
And they're located in Bramfontein. As well as Cape Town.
44 Stanley, Cape Town.
And we'll definitely, you know what, hopefully when we get an opportunity to come out and visit you, we can probably invite some of our listeners to come out with us and we can come check it out and enjoy. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And actually have a coffee-filled day.
We'll do a coffee cupping.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, there we go.
You get to slurp and spit and, you know.
I don't know about the spitting.
I don't know. We don't usually do that.
We'll swallow.
Everything. Like,
wasting coffee. We cannot waste
it's
coffee.
Nice, yeah, but it's just a hint of some sugar somewhere. Yeah.
All right. Stay locked in. We'll be back after this short commercial break.
Yes.
That's right. You too. And you. The whole world.
Come, did anyone tell her what top to wear?
Like, what, with C-cup titties?
What did you say? Okay. We're not at the sex floor yet.
Oh.
That's next week.
Your weekly Friday fix. Back on 1 till 2 p.m. every Friday. You can catch us live on cliffcentral.com. Myself, Kamu Piri, and Mr. K.F. Malindi Jr.
Hey, here we are, here we are. Hey, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. And now in the studio, we have very useless people.
Indeed.
No, I'll take that back. We have two very, very keen and young entrepreneurs. In fact, before we go far, the man on my right, unfortunately you can't see, but Mr. Matipeza Karase is one of the most sought after minds, young minds in the world. And he was actually with us when we first came to Cliff Central to actually pitch our show. So it's a very special occasion to have him here, you know?
Spoke more in that meeting than we did.
And we got the job. So that clearly means that his talking means nothing. But it was glad to have him in the studio.
We need to get into that, though, because, I mean, like, I can't wait for our first year anniversary. I didn't even know when that
we
is.
Need that.
Is
we need like that. July? We should actually celebrate, like, a party, have a birthday
yeah,
party.
Yeah, have, like, a proper birthday party.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry.
Just before we go in, thank you for having me. I was introduced. This is my voice. Yeah, now you guys can go on about the party.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, we're going to have a party for our year anniversary, and you may or may not be invited. It's just based on.
But wait, come remember that day, like, because we were in the meeting with Rina, and you know, they're trying to believe Issa. Yeah. Rina already had her mindset on what the show was going to be called, what they like,
and how it was going to go. Yeah,
and then we're all it's like, okay, fine, I hear you, but why don't we just do this? And then, do you remember when Gareth walked in? And it was like, oh, snap, the dude is here, snap. Yeah. And that was then. Now it's just like, oh, yeah, it's Gareth.
Yeah.
And Mr. Price t-shirt and cross-trainer shoes. Switch off your phone. And we also have Taff in the studio. Taff, what's good, family?
Not too bad. How are you?
Taff is the founder and owner of Taffiano.com.
Yes. Heavy
Taffiano.
Yeah. Well, look, is that a heavy title?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just and a creative who enjoys what I do.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
This
is the sort of humbleness that we do not appreciate as entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah, honestly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you come onto the show, right?
Yeah.
And then say, yeah, I am just a creative who enjoys what I do. I mean, you know what I mean? You're making money, dog.
Yeah, no. Let me explain something to you.
And buying big bottles of
to come with he had to come with the iPhone and MacBook. We see.
Oh yeah,
really don't care though.
Don't forget the Javianas.
He said something that I can't pronounce.
I don't know what Javianas are.
They look like
sandals, man.
Yeah, they look like slippers.
Javianas.
Oh, Javianas.
They're very popular.
I thought it was like a brand. Is it like a brand?
It's a big brand, yeah.
Javianas. Okay, how do you spell that?
I think Bonang actually endorses them here.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, she's their brand ambassador here.
Javianas. Okay.
Anyways, what I was going to say is yes, entrepreneur, founder, but the real juice is the creativity.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to work, in a very, very relaxed space where I can feel free to
Me
be
too.
Myself.
Listen, this is not the sexpo. The movements that you're making right now are suggesting
you,
that.
You have to say that on the radio because nobody can see that.
Oh my gosh. But yes, thank you for having me on.
No, that's great.
So what do you create? Me, I create other things that I have not created yet, but I'm looking to create other things. I'm actually coming from trying to create.
What does that actually mean, KF?
Could I just help people? KF Malindi is referring to the time-old human adage of procreation.
I swear to God.
I love your voice. He killed it.
He actually did. He actually surprised us all. Okay, so are we going to give Tav a chance to actually explain to us what he actually does?
Yeah, back into my zone there, but okay.
But get closer to the mic, Tav. It's not going to bite you. There you go. Come on.
There we go.
Yeah, that's it.
Kind of, you know what? It's okay.
It's all right, mate. Go on.
Right. So what do I create? I'm a graphic designer, but I also have come to realize that there's a lot of things around me that I see and I just want to change just so it can be visually pleasing.
Yeah.
So what I've ended up going to do for myself is creating little things and brands for my own satisfaction to see, okay, so if we're talking about soap, if I were to create a soap brand, what would it look like?
Mm.
And then start the process from there, and then actually realize in this process that, wow, this actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Who can I talk to make this happen?
Yeah, okay,
start making
okay.
the connections that way.
That's
so
proactive.
I'm using my creativity and the way I see things to, you know, create
better
good
things.
Products.
Yeah.
I like how these creatives want to talk all spiritual and intellectual and deep, like, okay, go on. Like, I see things around me that I feel that I should change and they're not visually.
And then you're just there like, you know what,
you know
man?
What I mean?
Like,
if there were women there, they'd be like, oh my God, he's so deep. They'll be like, snap.
Yes,
hey, this sex has got to be.
I swear to you, like, I mean, like, you know, what's happening with you? All you're supposed to do is focus. That's all.
No, but that is actually very proactive. And one of our biggest problems in Africa is that we're reactive.
Yeah, true.
As opposed to being proactive. So I remember at one point in time, okay, I can't even mention the clients because they're still like sort of coming into the country. But so there's this dude, right? He goes around and he just creates websites.
Yeah.
So imagine Nike. Before Nike came to South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Nike.co.za, registered online. Matipedza.co.za, registered like Kamu.
Actually, it's matipedza.com.
Okay. No, but you just register them, right?
Mm.
And then when this brand wants to come into the country, you already own their domain. And then they have to buy it from you. So it's sort of like it's being proactive as opposed to being reactive.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Mati, where are you going, fam? I heard you going somewhere.
Oh, Mati's actually flying away. Real soon.
Right, it's Uncle Fly.
It took 2 days to receive
this. Uncle Fly. I hope on ice this day.
No. You cannot play that card here. We agreed. You cannot play that card here.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll let you explain. Obviously,
were telling me about this.
Talking about Yali. Yali apparently is some sort of program based on young leaders traveling out to the States and then meeting other young leaders and congregating and spending a lot of the United States Embassy's money for nothing.
Coffee, being there. Jonathan, I'll let you.
Look, I mean,
tea,
it's a great networking opportunity
sandwiches.
And stuff like that.
Let me try and break it down to you.
Hold on. At least let me give my perspective.
Right,
then you can give us the...
You hear that? He's even changing the accent. He's ready for Washington. He's like, all right.
He's totally ready for Washington. So, yeah. I mean, it's great to have people in your circle being able to experience that. So, I mean, he can explain more further and tell us exactly what it is, how it came about, and why...
Like, we are not going.
In God's name, they choose you. But go on. Floor is yours, my brother.
All right, guys. First of all, I'm not a spokesman for Yali. So I'm just going to break it down to you how I understand it, how I understood it.
Speak about your trip.
Yes. Yeah. All right. The first thing is, the Young African Leaders Initiative, or YALI, is not just a fellowship or an online community or a place to go for regional leadership training. YALI is all three.
Yeah.
Right? It was launched in 2014.
Wow, it's very new.
Yeah, well, yeah. 3 years.
It's an Obama.
I think we're going.
It's an Obama initiative under the Mandela Washington Fellowship. And it's YALI's flagship. It's YALI's the flagship program that brings up to 1,000 African civic, business, and community leaders aged between 25 and 35
Excellent.
For 6 weeks of academic.
Did you say you're not a YALI spokesperson? Okay, but
you totally sound like a YALI spokesperson.
No, look. I won't lie to you. I'm just doing reading. I'm just reading it as it is.
Let's make it simple. So you've been selected to go as one of the Zimbabwean representatives, right?
Yes.
For YALI.
Uh-huh.
And how long are you going there for? Uh-huh. Where exactly are you going to be?
Okay.
And what would you like to achieve by attending this trip?
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's deep.
Okay.
I'm away for 6 weeks. We leave in mid-June, and we're back early August. I'm not yet sure what university I'm going to. I just got notified. Yeah, look. Look, the thing is, when you're on the mic and y'all are Zimbabweans, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Wow.
That Salah English starts to come out. You know what I'm saying?
I'm actually Moroccan, but I wish people could see Kamu's face right now. It's like, wait, where did that come from?
I'm not too sure.
University I'm going to.
Let me change it up for you.
I think just be you, Matthew.
So is a group of Zimbabweans that we chose. We are now going to the United States of America for 6 weeks. We have just been notified, so many of the processes are yet to be finalized before we are told where we are going.
Yeah.
But as you had mentioned, Kamu, and I want to add to this. The fellowship is
you couldn't even do it for that long.
Yeah, I couldn't.
You're just snapped back
into
it.
I'm trying to represent something that's good for Africans here, so I need to do it cleanly, you know. But the fellowship is something incredible. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I know, especially for me, being an entrepreneur, one of the things that I struggled with when coming up in the game in my field of choice.
Which is every field, but anyway.
Exactly.
Yes. A jack of all trades and a master of none.
We'll just give it a blanket crime. The only criminal to be able to travel to America legally.
Under the name and the auspices of Obama. Of Obama.
you see what the opportunities Obama created.
The thing is, you know, you struggle as an entrepreneur to speak to people who have money. Let's put it out straight.
That's a very, very valid point, especially in Africa.
Yeah, and a lot of the ideas that we as young people have are not exactly your traditional, I want to go and open a bottle store, you know, in the rural areas, or I want to open a restaurant here and there. You know, I'll give you a simple example. Someone who wants to open the Chicken Licken franchise in Zimbabwe doesn't even have the funds or the means by which to come to South Africa, speak to the head office, and
besides the actual franchising fee,
exactly. So what YALI is trying to do is that it's identifying leaders within communities and within countries in various fields that could potentially be that bridging factor for those guys who don't have access, because we then
Well, look, we aren't going specifically because we didn't apply and we weren't aware.
All I'm going to say is, y'all said it at the beginning of the show. I am one of the most sought after minds.
No, you are.
I ain't going to lie about it.
I mean,
I'm not going to lie about it. I mentor a lot of kids.
Humility does not exist as a word.
In the same respect, I think one of the things our generation misses out on is that we were brought up to work hard, but we weren't brought up to work smart. I work smart. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I try to sleep more than I have to do more, but when I do more, Lord, that sleep is worth it.
No, 100%.
You're trying to say, and I apply my mind to a lot of things. As an entrepreneur, one of the key things you need to always remember is that you need to diversify.
If I had $1 billion, I'd actually give you half.
Yeah, definitely.
No, you're one cunning brother.
You'd end up giving me the bill, dog. You'd end up giving the bill. You know, I pride myself in...
You're not that sort
in
after.
Not yeah. being... I pride myself in not being closed down to a particular trait of entrepreneurship.
No borders.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm so proud to be here right now. Like, you guys, I've known you guys for a long time.
You have
and,
no choice.
And I remember, I remember when we were having conversations in your kitchen, Kamu.
Yeah.
And we were saying, you know what? We need a show.
We need to go online.
We need to be on radio. Yeah. And Casey, you are passionate about speaking without the restriction of you can't swear or you can't talk about a particularly sensitive issue or how you can't express on behalf of those who are trying to express what we need to
express.
Don't
forget, Kessie was afraid when he went home. after being given the platform, swear and insult. Next thing is, hey, bro, I don't really know. Like, I've given them all my numbers. I'm like, but what's wrong with this? This is what you wanted.
I was at the airport tripping, fam. And then, so what happened was I was with Tata, right?
You know,
Tata,
guys,
allow me to say something. Like, just in case I get arrested at the airport, she calls, like, we're not together.
Guys, allow me to say something. I'm sorry, but let's bring it back to Yali. This is important.
Yeah,
No, Mati. What you're failing to understand is that...
You asked me three questions about Yali. I've answered the first. I need to answer the second and the third to be consistent in how I move.
Okay, look. This is how it's going to work.
All right.
I'm going to make it very simple for you because we've got exactly 4.5 minutes
to answer
everything and explain everything. Right. But mainly, you're just here to... It's an opportunity for us to congratulate you on achieving the opportunity of going out there and to give more awareness to other people out there who would like to. Because we were having a discussion in my house yesterday and we were talking about what other things are there. So if you could possibly just let everybody know, like, okay, look, this is how you got to then apply and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Then, yeah, you know, at least that's where I need you the most.
All right, well,
I want to go.
I want to go now.
Look,
I want to go with my brothers on Nigeria.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, but I'm an avid Mugabe impressionist. And I just do it privately and for my friends. But yeah.
Okay, this is not private. And we're not
Yeah, but this is no borders.
Okay.
This is why we're here. We can do this.
Okay, no problem.
Look, let me break it down to you pretty quickly. I heard about Yali through a couple of affiliates, a couple of close friends and family members who applied and also
went.
Can
you use language that we understand? What's affiliates? Affiliated to what?
To a whole lot of drama.
And moving on with the question. I then applied after they encouraged me to, because obviously in my field of endeavor, there are a few of us, which is aviation. And I made it for the first round, which is the 2016 Yali round. You apply online at yali.gov, I think. And I made it for the first round, got interviewed, but in my entrepreneurial journey, I've had humps and bumps. And one of those bumps contributed to my being deselected for the 2016 program. But in 2017, I applied again. As an entrepreneur, you never give up. Try again. And got to the interview, and I made it this time. So that's how I got it. But I've come to discover that there are many more programs out there for both entrepreneurs, business people, undergrads, graduates, people who can't afford to go to school, people who haven't been to school but have the passion, mindset, and intellectual capacity within their chosen field to want to move themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I think the internet is more or less the beacon of hope for a lot of us here in Africa.
Absolutely.
In terms of 100%. The African agenda for our generation being empowered for a better tomorrow.
I think, you see, that's the most important thing for me. There's a lot of opportunities that fly past us. I mean, you know, at such a late stage in your life.
Listen, did you hear what the program said? 25 to 35. I ain't laid down. Still here.
It's such a late stage in your life.
It's just Googling. We don't Google.
No, we actually don't. We actually don't focus on the other side where we actually can get what we need, equip ourselves.
Yeah.
correctly. I think, look, I mean, a lot of us in our age group are caught up in a serious rat race. So the time to actually focus and say, hey, but can't I go on the internet and find a program that can help me do this? You don't have, because the landlord, first and foremost, has got a big 12-inch machete.
Bread and butter issues.
There you go. Yeah. So I'm really hoping when you come back, we can get a chance to speak to you. And I'm really hoping when you're there, you can also do us a favor and address some of these issues that we have in Africa. I was talking to Tav yesterday, and it's $38 to rent a flat, a one-bedroom flat in Nepal. And it's how much?
Real?
Yeah, $38. And the average salary in America, the average salary is almost $4,000. And when I asked him, I was like, okay, so why would you compare like the job title?
Wait, $38 to rent an apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a month in Nepal.
One-bedroom apartment.
I haven't been to Nepal. Funny enough.
Okay, no, great. So, yeah, before we wrap up, because I know...
We need to get all the TAF details
please,
the business. TAF, what are the services that you provide? How do people get a hold of you? And what are you doing for free for us since we've advertised you?
Thank you.
Look, basically, we're Tafiani.com's...
Let's start with what you're going to do for free
for free.
Tafiani.com.
Extremely important. It's extremely important to get that one out the way.
Let's make it easy. We're going to tell you what you're going to do for free. You're going to design logos for us.
You're going to sell our
T-shirts on your platform.
We can do that, absolutely.
There you go.
So, you see, Tafiani.com is an e-commerce platform, and what we mainly focus on is unique African brands, some of which we create on our own.
Yeah.
We go into creative space. I mean, a lot of the time I'll work with Marty here, and it's so easy to just pick up the phone
One of the young protégés I have as a mentor.
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You can go on, young man. Go on.
No. You're lucky we are on air.
Let me not embarrass you. Okay, go on. Yeah.
But that's what Tafiani.com is. I mean, initially we started as a T-shirt brand and then realized that a lot of young creatives who actually create fashion want to get it out there in the world, mm-hmm. and realize that, okay, what if we set up an e-commerce platform that everyone can come onto and sell their
and
brands
sell their
to
like
the rest
eBay.
Of the world? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We ship to everywhere in the world, except for maybe two countries.
So what two countries those? China and
North Korea. So yeah, that's what we are.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. We're gonna wrap up. I know you wanna do the, because I know you're good at this impersonation thing. Do you actually wanna close up for us, close the show with the impersonation?
Bamsurui Tino da kuteda chaunga de mapatosi. Eclipse Central never tiri rivavo. Nemkana yabatipa. Kutituye pado. Tijitaura. Zisina maboda. Zisine nevertheless, however. From me, Mat Pezakarase and Tafazwa Shon Chirisa, aka Tafian. Until the next time. All right, guys. Thank you for having us on the show.
It's been amazing.
It's been
actually
a pleasure.
That's not your
Thanks,
job.
Guys.
It's been amazing, man. Us, 1 to 2 p.m. Catch us live every Friday. Palace looks amazing. We're going to have a bit of a after this. Bye-bye.
CliffCentral.com.